Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson. That's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from somebody. I don't know what PF.esquire means.
I think PF is this correspondence initials, and ESQ is Esquire.
An anticipatory Esquire?
Yeah, I want to strongly encourage people to fucking stop it. You don't need to put Esquire after your name unless it's a professional document and you are an actual practicing attorney. You definitely do not need to be putting Esquire into your email signature when you have not yet gone to law school. Please do not do that.
PF.esq. Let's see what you have to say. I finished undergrad in 1998, grad school. Grad school in 2021, followed by
2001.
Whoa. Okay. Sorry, my bad. Maybe I've been saying 2021 so much that I just said it.
Yeah.
Grad school in 2001. 2001? What the heck is wrong with
2001. Yes.
Okay. Followed by a long career in corporate human resources. Okay, HR. After fully emancipating from that work in 2016, I'm now a nonprofit executive director preparing to study and take the LSAT. My goal is a 2023 enrollment when I will turn 50 years old.
Okay.
Okay, and then little parentheses here. And no, turning 50 is not why I'm going to law school. Okay. My question is, what law school prep advice do you have, bold and underlined in italics, for people who have been out of school for decades? Specifically, my undergrad and grad school transcripts plus my GRE score are all probably somewhere collecting dust. Is timing considered for older applicants?
That GRE score is going to be reportable.
Do you have to report it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. Well, at least that came specifically from the Harvard application. But yeah, if you have ever taken the GRE, that is part of your law school application now.
All right. Okay.
Hope you did well on the GRE.
I wonder what the reporting requirements are, because they only have to report your highest LSAT score. So I imagine they have some flexibility in choosing whether they report a GRE score or an LSAT score.
If somebody actually knows, they should email us. I would love to know if there are updated ABA rules. We are daily at LSATdemon.com, and I would love to know what the rules are. But I'm going to just go ahead and put out a PSA right now saying, be careful about sitting for the GRE if you think you want to go to law school. Because until I know for sure one way or the other, I think, you know, just sitting and taking that exam, you might be muddying up your record.
Sure.
It's like taking high school classes or taking college classes in high school.
Yep.
Like it's like dangerous. Like I would be encouraging high school students not to take any classes for college credit unless they're sure they're going to get an A. Because it could be impacting your grad school, not just law school, but it could be impacting your grad school applications down the road. Whether you don't even know you're doing it. Yeah. We talk to students all the time who have like fucked up by, I enrolled in some class at the local community college and then I didn't go. I thought I had dropped it, but I didn't. I got an F. Now it's like permanently on my application to law school, even if it's 20 years later. That sucks.
Yeah.
I can go ahead and tell PF.esq your undergrad transcripts are still like in the game. Whatever law school you go to, they're going to have to report your undergraduate GPA.
Your grad school transcripts won't matter as normal, but yeah, undergrad transcripts and GRE score.
You have to send in your grad school transcripts.
Yeah.
But those just don't matter because they're not, or they don't matter nearly as much because the GPA there doesn't make it onto the 509 reports that the schools have to put out. But your undergrad grades, no matter how long ago you went, the school is going to report your undergraduate GPA to the American Bar Association and to the world.
The question is timing considered for older applicants?
I'm going to say yes, but.
Yeah. Well, yes in what way, though? Because at the end of the day, they're all just going to have to report the GPA no matter where it came from.
So it's yes, but only to the extent that all else, like when all else is equal, then they're going to take that into account.
Yeah.
Right. So like if you get a strong LSAT, then they're going to want you no matter what your undergraduate GPA is. And at that point, especially if you apply as a splitter, they might go, okay, look at this person. They killed the LSAT. Yeah, they've got bad college grades, you know, so that kind of sucks because we're going to have to report those bad college grades. But it was a long time ago, and the LSAT, you know, like they're going to have the opportunity to anchor on the higher LSAT instead of anchoring on this bad GPA that was 20 years ago or 24 years ago. Yeah. But it just like, you know, the spreadsheet doesn't tell that story. The 509 report doesn't tell that story. So how much can they actually consider it? Probably not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the one thing that you can definitely control, though, is your LSAT. And so you need, I mean, everybody needs the best LSAT they can possibly get.
Cool. The next question is, what if I'm only, all caps, interested in one school that's not an Ivy League school? PFS. ESQ continues, I've already checked out their 509 report and also US News ranking. Okay, I don't love it when people apply to only one school. I can imagine that PF ESQ is 50 years old and probably hugely tied to wherever he or she is. But I wish you would apply to even just like two or three schools in the area. And I wish you would have told us what school. I don't really know how to talk about some arbitrary school.
Yeah, I mean, I would like broadly say, I don't think you're necessarily serious about law school, if that's the case. I mean, I understand that you're probably saying that because there's a law school in your backyard. But, you know, law school is a change in career, right? Like, maybe PF.ESQ is just transitioning from one corporate HR role into another, like in-house human resources law type of a field.
Yeah.
Maybe going part-time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't broaden out to another four or five schools. Consider going remote, consider going part-time to some school that's a couple hours away from where you live, just to give yourself more options. Cause man, if they know I feel like they can sense the desperation sometimes. And if they know that you're only applying to their school, then what incentive do they have to give you a scholarship?
Absolutely.
I would look at their 509 for sure. I mean, if that school, it's okay to have one school as your like main target school. And you've already checked out their 509. Well, what does the 509 say? I mean, like, how does your GPA compare to their percentiles on their 509?
Yeah.
My guess is, just because of the nature of this question, my guess is that your undergraduate GPA is probably not impressive compared to their percentiles. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, it would be great. Like, if your GPA is good compared to their 509, then you're golden. Like, you're in great shape.
You know what's interesting about checking out the 509? That's, I'm glad that you, one, know about the 509 and that you are checking it, but I actually, these days, I think it's something that people can skip. I'd rather they just go to the scholarship estimator and see what their chances are of getting a scholarship. It pulls together their LSAT and GPA numbers.
Yep.
Based on the way that school weights those numbers. So you're not even like guessing like, I'm going to give them 50-50, which is roughly true, but some schools give more weight to the LSAT, some schools give more weight to the GPA. What do they do about that when it comes to scholarship money? Like, all that stuff can be just figured out for you. So
yeah, and when you go to LSATdemon.com/scholarships and put in your numbers,
yeah,
it's only asking you three questions. It's asking you your undergraduate GPA, your LSAT, and then there's a box that you can check for URM.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's going to give you results for not just one school, but right now, as I say this, there are 196 schools on the scholarship estimator. we continue to update it and tweak it all the time. It right now has the updated 509 data.
Yep.
That just came out. And we have found that it is extremely accurate. Not perfect, but no. It's going to give you a pretty damn good idea what kinds of offers you can probably expect. And it does not ask you what year you graduated from undergrad. It gives accurate predictions without knowing what year you graduated undergrad.
Yep.
So I think that's all you need to know, right? Like it just probably does not matter what year you graduated or how old you're going to be. I just don't think it's even relevant. Certainly not for scholarships.
They don't need to report your age. Right.
I mean, they're probably not even allowed to. Like, that's probably like illegal. I don't know. My guess is age probably is not a thing that they like are really allowed to consider.
Yeah.
They certainly can, you know, they can look at that GPA a long time ago and go, well, maybe we're going to lean on the LSAT a little bit more heavily.
Cool. Thanks for writing in. If you have a question, email daily@lsatdemon.com. Ooh, thanks for listening. Thank you.